Is Joe Biden really about to leave? We'll talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about the return of professional sports, maybe, hopefully, that, so much more coming up tonight, including Dave Rubin on I'm Right. Welcome to I'm Right. It's time for Dome and Dumber.
What am I doing here?
Fade the heat. You ever hear that saying before? I guess it probably depends on how old you are, whether or not you've heard that saying. Full disclosure, I'm 42, and I heard that saying for the first time 3-4 years ago. Of course, son, I'm trying to fade the heat. You know what it means for you old, for people my age and older? You know what it means? You're in trouble. You can't get out of that. But you're going to try to make it not quite so bad. You can't avoid the fact that you're in trouble. You're going to try to give yourself a soft landing, if you will. I believe the Bidens right now are in a full-court press to try to fade the heat. You see the latest and greatest from today. Special Counsel David Weiss announced he's going to be indicting Hunter Biden on gun charges. Remember, Hunter Biden committed a felony when he bought that gun. Well, lied on the gun form. He's going to be bringing gun charges, indicting Hunter Biden on gun charges for the end of the month. Now, maybe you're sitting there saying, well, that's great. Bidens are finally going down, being held accountable. Finally to prison. Well, no. That's not what you're seeing. What you're seeing here, I believe, is the Bidens trying to fade the heat. You see, David Weiss, he's been running cover for the Bidens for a long time now in this investigation. He was already in charge of the investigation, and he was slow-rolling everything. Almost looked like he was trying to cover for them instead of prosecute them, which, of course, that's what he was trying to do. And then all this damaging information starts to come out about this sweetheart Hunter Biden plea deal that he tried to get by the judge. And then Merrick Garland scrambles. Scrambles to do what? That's appoint a special counsel. You know, special counsel is supposed to be independent. But he scrambles and appoints David Weiss as the special counsel. So again, fading the heat, the soft landing. No, we got a special counsel. It's just the same guy who's already been running cover for him the whole time. But this doesn't change the facts on the ground. The facts on the ground are the American people know by now, most of them know by now, this is a corrupt family. I didn't say most American people are voting Democrat, did I? Or voting Republican or independent. I'm not talking about voting. They know the President of the United States is corrupt. The House Oversight Committee, I want to actually give them some credit. I can't believe I'm doing that to the GOP. They deserve some credit. They've been exposing quite a business scheme with then Vice President Biden, Hunter Biden, family businesses, things like that. But we still don't have, even with all this evidence, and we have all this evidence. Most of it they've had to squeeze out of the hands of the FBI. But there's still no impeachment. And let's pause on this for just a moment. Remember, this isn't Hunter Biden's business. This is Joe Biden's business. Hunter Biden is a crackhead loser. Nobody in the Biden family has enough juice to make any of these business deals happen. This is Joe Biden's criminal family. So, impeachment, if you lived in any kind of a country at all, no matter what the administration was, Republican, Democrat, it doesn't matter, if you lived in a country that was going to continue on for very much longer, we would already have a serious special counsel investigating Joe Biden for crimes. Impeachment would be a foregone conclusion, of course. So, why hasn't it happened? I mean, my goodness, it's getting late in the year, isn't it? Why hasn't impeachment happened? Well, here's Exhibit A.
Right now, I'm not convinced that that evidence exists, and I'm not supporting an impeachment inquiry.
Hey, we've seen the evidence. It's not just like I need special access. I've seen the evidence. And Ken Buck, of course, had too. But once again, the low-T GOP is doing the best they can to step in and give the Biden family that soft landing. Fade the heat for them, if you will. But I don't think it's going to work. And here's why. It's not because Republicans have any teeth. We all know that. Ken Buck might as well be the mascot for the party. Just useless, just a useless eunuch. But Democrats do have teeth. Remember, Andrew Cuomo is no longer governor of the state of New York, and it wasn't because Republicans got him out of office. You want to play hardball politics, get somebody removed from office? Well, Democrats know how to do that. Shoot, they're getting ready to throw Trump in prison. Democrats know how to play serious because they're all communists now. And they're after Joe Biden. CNN, maybe the worst communist propaganda out there, normally just completely state-run media, CNN's out there running polls front and center showing the American people think Joe Biden is too old and his jobs rating sucks and everything's terrible. So why? Why would Democrats do this? Why would Democrats take out their own president? Well, listen, the system, you know what the system is. When you live in a late stage republic like we do, you have a corrupt system. It's not just government. You see, government works hand in hand with education, with media, with entertainment. They all work together to pillage this country, which they hate. That's what I call the system. And you want the approval of the system to live in this corrupt nation of ours, because then you'll always be taken care of. Family will always be taken care of. Your kid will get into those schools, always get that cushy job. You want your system membership card at all times. But the problem with that system membership card is it expires really fast, really fast. You always have to keep paying new membership dues to keep your system membership card. And Joe Biden, as much as he might want to pay those system membership dues, he's just too old and his brain is too gone and he just goes off the reservation too much.
Lord, buddy, we explained to the press, I've been tested again today. I'm clear across the board, but they keep telling me because this has to be 10 days or something, I got to keep wearing it, but don't tell them I didn't have it on when I walked in.
Oops. That's how you talk. That's how I talk. President stumbles and mumbles. He's not going to be allowed to talk that way. Media wants him gone, too. Remember, the system wants him gone. How badly do they want him gone? They're asking Dome if she's ready to take over.
The Wall Street Journal had a poll showing two-thirds of Democrats say Joe Biden is too old to run again. Are you prepared to be commander-in-chief?
Yes, I am. If necessary.
Ouch. And look, why do you think Dome was already meeting with George Soros' son? Alexander's his name. Just remember that name. I just wanted to make sure we all were aware who this person is. Why do you think big donors, big Democrat donors, are sitting down with Dome? Why do you think, as the great John Phillips has told us before, why do you think Gavin Newsom is prepped and ready for a presidential run?
Gavin is not running against Joe Biden in 2024. Gavin is putting his chips on the number that says that Joe Biden isn't able to be the Democratic nominee in 2024. He thinks that the odds of something like that happening are great enough that if he runs essentially a shadow campaign for the presidency without ever declaring himself to be a candidate, he would be the candidate who could hit the ground running. So Gavin Newsom is giving Democrats an alternative in the event that Joe can't fulfill his duties and they move on from Kamala.
And now you see the system pushing the Bidens out. The GOP would give the Bidens a soft landing, I have no doubt about that. I'm not so sure Democrats will be quite as accommodating. All that may have made you uncomfortable or not, but I am right. I know what will make you very comfortable. The great Dave Rubin, my friend, is going to join us next. We'll talk about this and other things. You know what makes me uncomfortable? When I get in my car, and let's say I've taken it to the drive-thru, you know, the drive-thru wash, and I have all these horrible still streaks and like this film on my windshield, and I think, wow, I just went to the drive-thru. How did that happen? And it turns out they're all on the inside. That's why you get that film on the inside of your car windshield. You know that there's an easier way to clean that than you've been trying to do, right? When you're doing the thing with your wrist like that, you know you could just go get windshield wow. You clean the inside of your windshield from the outside. Attaches from the outside, and you scrub outside and in at the same time. It's freaking brilliant. And special discount right now. Windshieldwow.com, promo code Jesse gets you a special discount on one. Go check out these little miracles. WindshieldWow.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
But anyway, she sent in a little video for us.
Oh!
Here she is.
Hey, in spite of everything you've heard, and let me just make sure you all know that it's actually me. See, it's me. I'm really thrilled to see the beautiful new desk. I'm really thrilled to see all the beautiful women. You girls look great. And, you know, I can't wait to get back and hang out. But until then, it's me and my mask.
Whoopi Goldberg wearing a mask alone in her home. Joining me now, my buddy Dave Rubin, a host of the Rubin Report. Dave, it's just part of it. You know what actually gives me a little bit of comfort knowing these freaks have to live like this? Just a total lie. Even they know it's a lie and ridiculous. But they have to be miserable and we don't. You know what? Isn't that a win in and of itself?
I suppose it is. And I actually appreciate you spinning that in such a way that I can watch a clip like that for like the 18th time today, because we covered it on my show as well, and not feel completely grotesque. But it's so absurd. Putting aside for just a moment that she's alone in the room, we also know that masks do not work because there's holes here and here and here and here. She takes the mask down to talk. It's patently absurd, but you're right, they're so all in on it that they have to continue to do it. And that in and of itself, I suppose, should bring some of us some joy. Not
Dave,
joy, Dave,
riddle me this,
joy,
riddle me this.
Human joy.
Oh, yeah, no, real joy. That joy is the opposite of joy. Anyway, riddle me this, Dave. I'm curious. How many of these people do you think are still doing it because they feel like they have to? They're worried about this social shame system we have that's all upside down in this country. Or how many do you think it's just kind of pride? I can't back off the mask now after everything I said and did. I'll look too dumb. What do you think it is?
Oh, I would say that you have to add a third category there, which is that it's just performative. So you have sort of the believers, right? The people who think the masks actually still work. Then you have the people who are sort of in too deep, that you just described. And then you have just like the purely performative, which I think is Whoopi and The View people. There is no, I mean, as crazy and as stoned as I think Whoopi may be, I don't think she actually believes masks work, nor that she thinks that she should be wearing one alone in a bedroom, right? So for her, it's purely performative. And then you have to think, well, why is it that on The View, they want their viewers, whatever, the brainless people that are watching that program, to think that having a mask alone in a room 3 years after all of this nonsense still has value. So the performative part is probably the most cynical version of all of it. I would say at this point, to some extent, I have pity for the people that just still believe this nonsense, for anyone that watches Fauci on CNN and still thinks he's worthy of listening to. And, you know, I guess between that, then there are people who are a little bit confused or just, you know, herd mentality. And when they bring COVID back, as I keep saying on my show, and I'm pretty sure you'd agree with me on this, Jesse, you know, when they bring it back, we are going to be shocked by the amount of people that comply once again. You know, there's this thing online where everyone's like, I'm not going to comply again. I'm not. Yes, you will. A very disappointing amount of people are going to comply.
They are. It's so true because I've seen the same thing. Not me. Not me. Yes, you will.
No,
yes,
no,
you will,
no.
You bunch of liars. You know, probably not the people watching this show or your show, but a lot of this country is going to freaking comply. All right, Dave, are they running Joe Biden out of office? Not Republicans. They don't have the guts for that. But are Democrats running him out of office? It feels like they're running him out of office.
It kind of feels like they're running him out of office, but you know, you got to give the devil his due with the Democrats. They always find a way to win or to continue the charade or something. And look, if you run Biden out, let's just say There's two possibilities here. Look, they realize that, you know, now people are really catching on to the age and cognitive thing and the fact that the economy is struggling and the border. And, you know, if you saw the thing, you probably played it on your show, Eric Adams this morning in New York City, basically telling people to flee the city. Like, the whole Democrat machine is collapsing, yet they still win elections, right? We didn't get the red wave or anything else. So are they pushing Biden out? Well, I would say sort of yes. But then the question is, by all logic, then you have President Kamala Harris. Now, I get it. She would be a puppet, right? Nobody believes that she would be running the show. But do they really want that? Do you want a woman who really nobody? I mean, Biden, I suppose, has some supporters that think he's Biden of 30 years ago. Kamala Harris, when she dropped out of the presidential race, you know, years back when she was running against Biden, she was polling at 1%. So she has no support. So then the question is, how do you make the move with Gavin, which seems much more likely, Gavin Newsom? I just don't put anything past these people. They will pull off any trick. That video you guys are showing right there, that B-roll of Newsom, they did that when Biden was out of the country. He showed up at the White House. So you tell me.
Dave, what about RFK Jr.? What am I supposed to make of this guy? And what's going to happen with this guy? Are they going to, the Democrats never going to let him actually debate. So what's he going to do? Nothing?
Well, look, I think he's been a net force for good, whether I agree with him or on everything or not. You know, I had him on my show. He was against the Supreme Court decision getting rid of affirmative action. I'm completely for it. We talked it out. We kind of agreed to disagree. Now, your audience probably agrees with me on that. But he strikes me as mostly an old school liberal who thinks that most of the Democrats are still, you know, his father and his uncle, you know, guys who unfortunately have been gone for 40, 50 years. But he's a good man. He understands the overreach of government, especially as it comes to COVID and the three-letter agencies. And the Democrats hate that. Look, the Democrats handicapped or kneecapped Bernie years ago when it was his opportunity, and they're clearly not going to let Biden or anyone else get on a debate stage with this guy. My gut feeling with him is that by the end of this, you know, he'll be a Democrat in name only. He'll basically be sort of a libertarianish moderate conservative. And what I really think, if he's going to have a political future, I'll tell you, I got one for you that I'd like. How about we get a guy named DeSantis to be president, and then you task Robert F. Kennedy with taking out the agencies, because it's what he's been doing his entire life, fighting these guys legally and everything else. And he has incredible insight on that stuff. That to me seems like something he might be interested in. I kind of hinted that to him, and he didn't really push back on it.
Speaking of Ron DeSantis and candidates, you're sitting down with all these guys. You sat down with the old Heavy D, and here's a little clip of it.
President Trump was on Hugh Hewitt's radio show, and Hugh asked him about firing Fauci, and Trump's exact quote was, "You're not allowed to fire him." I suspect you probably have a different take on what you can do with these civil servants like Fauci.
Sure. Well, first of all, it's important to point out, for a long time, that was not his excuse. His excuse had been that if you fired Fauci, both the Democrats and the media would have pitched a fit, which, of course, is 100% true. But that's the price of leadership. You got to stand up and do what's right. Clearly, he could have been fired from the White House task force. There was no obligation to run him out at press conference after press conference, have him doing media interviews. So I think, yes, you fire him. And here's the thing, Dave. If it's the right thing to do, you do it. If they sue you, they sue you. But you had the basis to do that, and you should have done it, and the country would have been better off had he done it.
Dave?
Yeah. I mean,
that's pretty forward.
Well, because it's the truth, right? It's the truth. Whether there is some issue as to whether the president is allowed to fire a civil servant, somebody like Fauci, in a situation like that. But first off, the idea that Trump always plays by the rules, or that somehow he was afraid of Democrat backlash or they were going to impeach him over that, is all kind of crazy. But DeSantis even qualifies that by saying, okay, well, then at the very least, you don't keep trotting him out. You don't hand over the keys to the castle to the guy. Let's not forget, and you guys can find it on Twitter if you don't believe me, Donald Trump, running for re-election, ran an ad which was all video of Fauci saying nice things about him and him saying nice things about Fauci. He gave Fauci the Medal of Freedom Award on the way out after the 4 years. Those are just facts and true. So you have to say to yourself, if you're someone who's now, let's say, a COVID skeptic, or you're certainly against mandates or lockdowns or some of the other things that Fauci brought on us, not to mention, say, the NIH funding the Wuhan lab and everything else, you have to say to yourself, okay, would Trump do it all over again? I've come to the conclusion that he probably would when push came to shove. I think DeSantis would not. The question remains to be seen. But I would say in the 22 minutes that I spent with DeSantis yesterday, and I would, again, welcome anyone to challenge me on this, I didn't hear one lie. I didn't hear one unwarranted attack. I heard serious policy and a vision for this country. And I think that's what we need. Maybe it's not what we're going to get. Maybe it's not what we deserve, but I think it's what we need.
What do you mean it's not what we deserve? You're closer in to that campaign. Obviously, you're a DeSantis guy. You don't know what poll numbers to believe or not believe. How's the campaign going?
Well, frankly, in terms of the word deserve that I said there, I mean, maybe we don't deserve it, meaning maybe as Americans, we've just all decided, you know what, Twitter fights and spats and making up names and lying about people and all of that is actually what we want more. Whatever will keep us glued to this thing is what we want more, rather than having a competent, decent government that the founding fathers would have wanted. I hope that's not the case. I fight, as you do, to do my best to make sure that that isn't the case. But maybe it is what we deserve, because it seemingly is what we want. As far as the campaign, I would say, look, national polls, people simply do not understand this. National polls mean nothing. Absolutely nothing. We have a primary process. And if Trump is up by 60 points on January 7th, or the day before, whatever it is, the day before in January, the Iowa caucus, if DeSantis wins the Iowa caucus, it changes overnight, just like that. And by the way, DeSantis is going to all 99 counties in Iowa. Trump has not campaigned publicly since August 12th. I get it. He's distracted with some other things, which the government weaponization of the Justice Department is a huge problem, but these are realities. So I think, you know, the tortoise and the hare, man, like patience, and continue to show people that you're competent and you have a vision and there's no drama. And let's see where the chips fall.
Let the voters decide. Dave, appreciate you, brother.
Good to see you, Jesse.
You too, man. Sports. NFL's back tonight. That's the big story. Let's talk to Michelle Tafoya. She used to be part of that sports world. She left. Now she's part of the political world. Why? Talk to her about that. Before we talk to Michelle, let's talk about this. Let's talk about our dogs and how they need nutrition. Now, I know that's not exactly breaking news. Breaking news, your dog needs nutrition. But here's the problem. Here's what is breaking news. For a lot of people, it certainly was breaking news for me. We're not giving our dogs nutrition with dog food. We think we are, and we want to. We love them. So we go buy this blend or that blend, or this will be better for him or easier on his tummy, and it's all just dead. That's why it's all brown. They kill everything in dog food at the factory. Your dog's not getting any nutrition from his dog food. It's like giving your dog a double cheeseburger every meal. Rough Greens is life for your dog, a longer life and a healthier life for your dog. All natural nutritional supplement you pour on your dog's food, and they're giving out free bags of it, free Jumpstart trial bags. All you have to do is give them a call, 833-33-MY-DOG, or they have a website, roughgreens.com/Jesse. We want our dogs around a long time, don't we? I do. Well, go make sure. We'll be back. I miss football. Like I've told you before, just going to come out and say it. I was obsessed with it forever. And all that Black Lives Matter crap came out and all the flag stuff, and I stopped watching. And most of the stuff I've walked away from, I don't miss. I miss sitting down on Sunday with the wife and having a beer and watching the NFL and watching Michelle Tafoya on the sidelines. And now she has a podcast, a host of the Michelle Tafoya podcast. Michelle, I used to sit down and watch NFL football, and you were there, and now I don't do any of those things. You're gone, and football has made me mad.
You're not alone. I know you're not alone. I'm excited to have it back, but I understand your predicament. I truly do. And I think it's true with a lot of major league sports, quite frankly.
Why did they go that way? You were in that world. I've never been part of that world, but you obviously know the ins and outs of it. Why did sports go that way? Because my whole life, it was just never left or right or anything. It was our escape from all that. It was, we all went to the game or watched the game and yelled and screamed and cried and had fun. And then that was it. But then it was like overnight, it all got political. How did that happen?
Well, I mean, it started with Colin Kaepernick, right? At least in the NFL, it did, I think. And, you know, you've got a lot of young people playing the game. You've got young people kind of promoting the game from the social media standpoint. Like, I went to the Buffalo Bills social media page, and it was their Twitter. It's weird. It's not about football. It's about something else. I can't even recall right now, but I don't know, this sort of wokeness, this, you know, let's all hold hands and love each other and virtue signaling and all the rest, I think has permeated every major institution, not just in America, but everywhere. And it's probably been in the works and growing and taking root for a long time. And we're just now starting to really see it.
Is that why you left sports and started digging into politics more and more?
It's part of the reason. I mean, you know, I didn't need to leave. I chose to leave. In fact, I chose to leave several years before I did leave. And it didn't have to do necessarily with just sports. It was everywhere where I saw that people were afraid to say things, weren't allowed to say things. I got bashed for asking questions about COVID and masking and vaccines online. People were just, you know, calling you names. And I thought, this is strange. If their best argument, meaning anyone who opposes you, is to call you a bigot or a transphobe or a racist or a white supremacist or whatever, whenever you open your mouth and question something, something's going wrong here. And I love this country way too much to just sit back and go, oh, that's fine with me. No way. No way.
I love that. Corinne, diversity hire, got up on the podium speaking about men and women's sports. This is what she said.
Does he care that girls are allowed to compete in sports without fear of injury? Does he think it's fair for girls to have to compete against biological males?
I just answered the question. It is a complicated issue. It is truly a complicated issue with a wide range of views, a wide range of views. There is no yes or no answer to this. It is complicated.
It's not really complicated, Michelle. My sons are 13 and 14 now, and they now live in a world where I have to explain to them what transsexuals are when we talk about sports. It's so crazy how nuts everything got overnight.
It does feel like it happened overnight. I saw this sort of happening a while ago in some youth sports where trans girls, meaning boys who were, you know, presenting or identifying as girls, were able to compete on girls' soccer teams. And my daughter, a soccer player, I thought, oh my gosh, what is going on? This isn't fair. Someone lost a spot on that roster because a little boy who now thinks he's a girl or wants to be a girl took her spot. That's not what Title IX was all about. That's not why we have two divisions. We split up sports in so many ways to make competition fair. And one way that was fought for many, 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 many years was so that women could have the same opportunities to excel at sports as men. And so when someone like Megan Rapinoe of the U.S. women's U.S. national soccer team, the women's team, comes out and says, hey, I'm all for it, let trans women play, I wonder, you know, where she would have been on that had this issue come about and deprived her of a roster spot some years ago.
Yeah, I think we all know where she would have been. And I guess what shocks me most about it, Michelle, is how everybody really knows the injustice of it. Everybody. 100% of society knows it's wrong, including the people directly participating in it. And yet it's something that's happening and happening at some of the highest levels. It's wild to me. Everyone knows it's wrong. And yet, as you pointed out earlier, I guess people are just too scared to say anything. So it's happening.
That's a big part of it, is this fear of speaking out and fear of being called a name and maybe losing friends or, hell, losing your livelihood, right? So you're right. I think what women need to do is when they are stepping into a competition, they need to know if there is a trans female competing, leave. Leave the competition. Protest. Don't compete. I saw recently at a cycling race somewhere, two biological men were on the podium. They called themselves trans women, and maybe they are trans. I have no problem with that. What I have a problem with is the unfairness of this. And it's, you know, for Karine Jean-Pierre to say it's so complicated and there are a wide variety of views. You want to take a poll on that? I would venture a guess that the vast majority of Americans know this is unfair, believe it's unfair, and think there has to be another solution.
Michelle, what's Triangle Park?
Triangle Park is a park in Dayton, Ohio, where the first ever NFL game was played. And a documentary film is coming out this fall that I have the pleasure of narrating and being a part of. We've got Larry Fitzgerald, Tony Dungy, Troy Aikman, Joe Buck, Chris Collinsworth, Susie Culber, Ben Roethlisberger, Eric Dickerson, a bunch of people participating in the film. I am so happy and lucky to be narrating it. So people need to keep an eye out for it. If you live in an NFL city, you're probably going to have a screening in your town come right around Thanksgiving time. We'll keep you posted on the details, but this is going to be good. It's not only about just football, but what was going on in America in 1920. Women were first getting the right to vote. So it's a great piece of history. It's a great piece of football history. So even if you don't like the NFL now, Jesse, you can watch the history of it.
I will. Triangle Park. What a better time in the country that was. Michelle, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Great to see you.
You too. Jack Brewer, former NFL player. I guess it's NFL night tonight. Former NFL player and great dude Jack Brewer is going to join us next. Talk to Jack about men in America, changing things, turning things around. Before we do that, let's do this. Let's talk about how we protect ourselves in a bit of a rocky environment, if you will, economically. What do you do? How do you protect yourself when they're destroying the value of the dollar? I get paid in dollars. I don't know about you. Well, you have to buy things you can touch and feel. That's the only way to protect yourself. Precious metals. Oxford Gold will deliver them to your front door. Gold coins, silver coins. They'll get them in your retirement so you're not wiped out. But they can't do any of these things unless you call. Call 833-995-GOLD and let Oxford make sure you are fortified for the coming times, all right? Tell them I told you to call. They'll take care of you, I promise. 833-995-GOLD. Make sure you're ready. We'll be back. Tis the season. Not Christmas season. Football season. High school football. Most people in America have great memories of high school football. We didn't even have good football in Montana. There weren't any players in Montana. And we all showed up on Friday night and watched the high school football team. I bet Jack Brewer has some cool memories about high school football. Former New York Giant. That's my favorite part of his resume. Three-time NFL team captain, founder of the Brewer Group. Okay, Jack, first of all, before we get to the ugly stuff, tell me, I mean, my goodness, you were on the Giants. You had to be a stud in high school. Did you just dominate everybody in high school? Was that fun?
I did. I didn't come off the field very much. Played both ways. It was all state both ways. High school was a lot of fun.
I bet it was. All right. Jack, sadly, I don't know what's happened to this planet. This is apparently a time now for shootings in this country. High school football games have shootings at them now. We got these freaking kids, man, getting killed at high school football games. And I don't know, maybe, I hate to sound like an old man, Jack. I just don't remember it being that way when I was in high school, was it? And I'm just naive?
No, it wasn't. I mean, it's a result of the culture, man. Like, it's taken over. The game that's so great in America, the ultimate team sport, the place where you get your discipline and learn respect and all the great things that football does. And now all of a sudden, you're bringing this thug-like hip-hop, rap, hardcore culture to this amazing game. And it's sad. I mean, you see kids laying out on the field, people getting shot, you know, people gambling and smoking weed. And this culture has now became a part of youth football in a lot of major cities across America, and it's sickening.
Jack, why would that part of the culture take hold on something like sports? Because sports is, honestly, it's a place where a lot of that stuff, at least, again, to my memory, that's where that stuff would get run out. You got some kid who's losing his way, send him out to the daggone football coach and get him straightened up. Is this not something that happens anymore?
It's not. It's because the parents have changed. Now you got, coaches that have never really played the game, didn't value the game. Now they're living through their kids. And unfortunately, They're the ones that are running these organizations, these youth programs, you know, and they have no morality themselves. And so, you know, I went to a youth football game a few weeks ago, and there's grown men coaching these 6, 7, 8 year old kids playing at the lowest age group, cussing them out, saying cuss word. The music that's being played, I wouldn't even want my 25-year-old to listen to cuss words and every other word that's coming out, degrading women right there in front of these young boys. And no one bats an eye. No one thinks anything of it. You walk by, you smell weed smoke right in the parking lots, and people are gambling on games. I mean, this is the culture that has been created in youth football, particularly in a lot of the inner city areas. And it needs to stop. If I'm the National Football League and I'm protecting my brand in the Shield and youth sports, I'm demanding that these coaches take some accountability, go through training. If I'm the American Coaches Association, if I'm these various youth organizations, I am not allowing these thugs to ruin the brand of football. You have to hold people accountable. You shouldn't be allowed, if you want to have your house ran and on set on fire, you shouldn't be allowed to spread that to other children. And so I think there needs to be some new measures put in for these youth coaches that demand that they use morality when it comes to coaching these kids, and stop using the language in this sick, demonic hip-hop culture as the catalyst for their teams.
Jack, why such a difference when it comes to location, when it comes to this kind of stuff? Because, look, I live in the Houston area, and you'll see the same thing. You go downtown Houston some of these games, but you drive 20, 30 minutes out of town where my kids play, and it don't matter the black schools, white schools. You don't see any of that stuff. We're talking 15, 20 minutes away. Why? Why the difference?
America has been gutted, man. Morally, we've been gutted, and so... in many of these inner cities, we've just allowed this culture to continue to be present there. And no one's held accountable in these areas. You see, these are the same areas that let criminals out of jail, right out of jail, and don't hold people accountable anymore. These areas are the same areas that vote for leftist-minded politicians who are going to tell them whatever they want to hear to appease them. There is no accountability. The word accountability doesn't exist in many of these communities. And so that's your real problem, is this is festering. No different than that song that came out. You bring that stuff to a small town, people are not going to put up with it. People are not going to put up with you coming in and just corrupting the minds of children, because that's what they're doing. When a kid that's 7, 8, 9 years old goes and plays a game of football, they look up to their coach. They look up to their community. They want to take everything that they can like a sponge and take that in. And if your coach is talking to you like you're about to go into a strip club and like you're on the streets gambling and selling dope, if your coach is approaching the world that way, the kids are going to embrace that as truth, as reality. And so it needs to stop, man. We have a cultural crisis going on right now, and it's spiritual. And if we don't get the word of God back into this nation, get the word of God back into the morality of our coaches and teachers and leaders, particularly in these inner cities, we're going to have a lot of trouble in the years ahead.
Yeah, that's a good way to sign your whole country up for a whole lot of trouble. Speaking of which, Deion Sanders, who I don't know, I've never met him, I just watched him play football my whole life. He had said something, boy, I sure liked hearing it at the press conference. Here he was.
I think he had a little injury of his ankle early on, and he thought it popped. I'm like, no, God wouldn't have brought you this far for that, not right now. Watch what the impact you're going to have in this game. But I'm thankful that God gave me what I needed to finish. I'm thankful that I finished. That's all we want to do is start and finish. I'm not on the field now, but I can affect what's on the field, and I'm thankful for that. I really am. How you doing, man? God bless you.
I got to be here.
God bless you, man. You're a pioneer, you know that, right? Right, you're a legend.
I hear a lot of that now, Jack, or I should say I hear a lot more of it. I don't hear a lot of it, but I hear a lot more of it. You hear guys like Jim Harbaugh, Deion Sanders, that the people are getting, athletes, people in that world are getting more vocal like they used to be.
Hey, Amen. You know, we started an initiative at America First Policy Institute called Play to Pray. And it's the spirit of what Dion is saying. You know, so many guys from Dion's generation, from my generation, you know, we realize what powers us, and we realize the only way that you can truly become successful, either on the field, off the field, in family, and whatever else, is through God, man, and through faith in God. And so we want to make sure that we use the game not to make a mockery of God, but to lift his name up and to give him his glory. And that's what Deion Sanders is doing. Deion Sanders is saying, hey, listen, I know I've been flashy my whole career. I know a lot of the things that I do, people may think are for me, but I serve a higher being. And I want to glorify and honor him. And I think that's the message that we need to hear more. I think Deion Sanders has an amazing opportunity now to impact culture. I think if Deion saw and witnessed some of the things that are happening that we spoke about earlier, he would be disgusted. But it's going to take someone like him to take a stand to make change. And you know, I pray that he continues to find success, because there's a lot of doubters. There's a lot of people said that Deion couldn't come in and do what he has done for different reasons, and his team didn't have the talent. But Deion has showed the world that through faith in God, right, and through empowering young men that believe. I mean, just think about his motto. His whole motto for his organization is I believe. And they repeat it over and over, I believe, I believe. Just having that spirit versus listening to this toxic music and saying cuss words like's happening all over our country and some of our youth teams and leagues is the difference. And I just pray that Deion continues to be that shining example of the light of Christ.
Amen. Jack, thank you so much for what you do, man. Come back soon.
God bless you.
You too. All right. We got Light in the Mood next. Before we lighten the mood, let's do this. Let's get rid of that timeshare. You don't want it anymore. You know you don't want it anymore. And I know what you're saying, Jesse. I've tried. I told him I want out. Well, yeah, but you called the wrong person. See, you called the timeshare company. They're just going to tell you, sorry, you're stuck for life. Got to pay the annual fees, special assessments, yada, yada. You should be calling Lone Star Transfer, the family business. The one that's helped over 18,000 timeshare owners legally and permanently get out. You're not stuck. You think you're stuck. Lone Star Transfer. They guarantee getting you out 99% successful. 844-310-2646. That's your phone call. Your one phone call from freedom. 844-310-2646. We'll be back. All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And you know what I've said for the longest time about communism? Actually, I haven't said it. My buddy Phil came up with the quote, and I've stolen it from him and acted like I've said it for the longest time. The best thing about communism is all the communists communism has destroyed. I'm paraphrasing, but that's pretty much it. The only good thing about communism. I love when these people get the results, the fruits of what they've done. We'll get to that in a moment. Before we get to that, let's get something good for you, for your family. We all want to be healthier, and in this day and age, we want to visit the doctor a lot less, because after all, this medical system we have is... So, you know, one way to visit the doctor a lot less is to make sure the air you breathe is cleaner. It's just a fact. Eden Pure Thunderstorm kills viruses and mold in your air, in your home, or wherever you, office, wherever you plug it in. I have one of these. I have nine of these. I try to keep them in every room I'm in. They're just that spectacular. And look, you'll smell the difference. You'll taste the difference in your air. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse, gets you $200 off a three-pack. So go get one, all right? All right. Communists, enjoying the fruits, doing the reaping and sowing, both together. Eric Adams. He didn't like all those illegals in that sanctuary city of New York.
No support. And let me tell you something, New Yorkers. Never in my life have I had a problem that I did not see an ending to. I don't see an ending to this. I don't see an ending to this. This issue will destroy New York City. Destroy New York City. We're getting 10,000 migrants a month. Every community in this city is going to be impacted. We have a $12 billion deficit that we're going to have to cut. Every service in this city is going to be impacted. All of us. So as you ask me a question about migrants, tell me what role you play. How many of you organize to stop what they're doing to us? The city we do, we're about to lose. And we're all in this together. All of us.
I love it so much. I'll see you tomorrow.
Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo
und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.